blink a blow. It's done. Blink a blow. You want another blink up? I don't. I, you choose all you get. Anyway, yeah. So, tell me more about this best man speech. How many players are you requesting from him in the speech, and is it going up per sentence?
Oh yeah, I mean the longer that I have to hold the wedding hostage, the more players that I'm gonna want from him. Because it's, you know, it gets riskier as you go along. Megan gets angry and tries to tackle me, and I stiff arm her into the cake. Security gets called. The other groomsmen try to attack. It's gonna be a whole thing. I'm gonna be running. I'm doing laps around the venue trying to get these players from him.
The best part about this is they're gonna have to call in a negotiator, and it'll have to be me, who comes in and goes, "All right, guys, let's look at this trade together and find common ground. Just let these nice people go back to their wedding. And we'll negotiate a trade. Well, we can do this."
You know, Matt is required at the wedding, right? Yeah. Like, he'd have to have a stand-in, you know, someone, a proxy for his team, which could also be you.
It would be pretty hilarious. I'm just imagining, because, I mean, I've said it many times, Megan terrifies me. She's got that quiet calm. Like, I telling you right now, if I like woke up and she was standing up right beside my bed with a knife after I said something questionably offensive, would not surprise me. I'd be like, "Oh, this is just how I die. Got it."
Is Tom running Windows 95, or like, what are we dealing with here?
I think he's actually on Windows NT. It's official. Everybody knows that I live in Chicago. Eddie found out. That was fun.
He didn't find out so much as you finally told him, because the charade became annoying to uphold.
There was going to be this great payoff that just never came to fruition, because someone whose name doesn't rhyme with Freddy or Letty or Ketty, whatever Eddie reference you want to make here, wouldn't come to the city.
What is the deal with your, whatever ancient technology you're running over there?
Yeah, we're taking bets. Is it running XP or NT?
I'm pretty sure it's Windows 10. It's just old. It is like, it's this thing and just garbage.
So Joe wants Davante Adams.
I'm sure he does.
And
that's
too
fucking bad for Joe.
And he has been trying so hard to get me to come up with a trade deal. And I think what I'm going to offer is I'll give him Davante Adams. If he gives me Mike Williams, a running back, and another wide receiver, not named Cole Beasley.
So Cooper Kupp? Cooper Kupp or Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah, like, give me Chase, Cooper Kupp. I'll even, you know what? There's one more in there somewhere. Doesn't he have, who's the other
Mike
wide?
Mike Williams.
Yeah, he's got Mike Williams too, but there's one more.
Thielen.
There it is. Tell you what, you give me Mike Williams, you give me Adam Thielen. You give me a running back that's worth the damn. Yeah, give up Davante. Sure. I'll even throw in Kenyon Drake that you just gave me. You can keep him. How about that?
Yeah, can you explain that trade to me? Because I got that across my commissioner's desk, and I went, okay. Sure. I don't understand, but yeah, why not?
He really wanted Kamara's backup. That's, sixth on the depth
chart.
Oh, that's
right. He's got Kamara. Sure. Right.
And
yeah.
I wanted a running back that's not dead. Seemed like an okay fit. He'd been pestering me about it for a week or so, and I'd just been ignoring it. I say ignoring it. I didn't realize it was there. And then he finally sent me a ticking time bomb trade offer, which
I
didn't know was a thing.
Those are the best. Those are my favorite things. I love using those.
And I was like, oh, God, it's going to explode. Yes, no, yes. But at the end of the day, I was like, this doesn't hurt. It doesn't help anybody, but it doesn't hurt. And it kind of plays into my fantasy team's role. Players that I own that I hate that I have to root for. So I've now got 3 Raiders. I've got 3 Chiefs. I don't have any Broncos. No, I have 1 Bronco. And still no Chargers, which, I mean.
Well, you know, trade Davante Adams and you might.
That's it. Get back. I've got 4 Raiders. Ew. Speaking of the Raiders, do we want to talk about...
Should we start recording?
Oh, we've been recording this entire time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. We never have it been.
Great.
Do we want to talk about the fact that John Gruden went from the face of ESPN to ESPN scapegoat for everything racist?
See, that's my favorite thing, because ESPN is, like, taking him to task. And it's like, y'all, he worked for you when all this shit happened. You don't want to mention that, maybe? Just a little bit? Like, highlight, like, during his tenure at Monday Night Football, John Gruden said all this shit. And it's horrible and disgusting. And we let him do it.
So the one thing they haven't brought up that I think is fucking hilarious, because it's what's started this shit show. They were never investigating Gruden. They were investigating the football team and Dan Snyder's horrible running of that team. And they found emails that linked topless photos of the cheerleaders going to John Gruden. And by the way, he said some racist, homophobic, and, you know, misogynistic shit. Can we go back to the first part of that sentence? Can we just...
Did you read the rest of that, what happened with the cheerleaders? Because that's, like, originally what they were investigating.
Yeah.
And, like, that shit got weird quick.
Yeah. And it's like, let's just pass over the Dan Snyder being a very horrible, creepy old man and focus in on John Gruden. Like, let's just ignore the owners. They're fine. They didn't do anything. Yeah, Snyder's creepy. We get it. I mean, have you met him? He's kind of creepy already.
I feel like all of the owners are kind of fucking creepy.
I mean, have you seen them? They're old white men from the, like, fucking 60s. Of course they're creepy as shit. There isn't a white-collar crime or a black-collar crime that they're probably not implicated in at least twice in those emails.
Do you mean blue-collar?
Nope. White and black.
Okay. Can I just ask a quick question? Mm-hmm. Just for my clarification. Mm-hmm. What's a black-collar crime?
I have no idea. I just assume if there's white-collar, there's got to be black-collar, right? Is that not a thing?
I don't know.
I think it's more white collar indicates those who have white collar jobs, like, you know, day traders and rich people,
owners of football franchises.
Sure, it's more a reference to the white collar versus blue collar versus the white collar versus black collar.
I don't know how it
again
works.
Are we like is black collar priest? Are we talking about
no.
priests?
There is no black collar, is my point.
I made it all up.
Well, I went through this whiskey really quick.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm out of whiskey. We haven't even started, guys.
We have started.
Gotta go.
And
there were some
cut.
Football matchups. Some things occurred. Most people were disappointed, except for the other half of people who were not disappointed.
And even then, I'm sure they were still disappointed. Some of them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, let's be honest, Mike. You only scored 180-something points this week, right?
I scored 204.
Oh, did you? I must have stopped looking after a certain point.
Carlos scored 180-something.
You got to understand, Mike, for the last half of the Colts-Baltimore game, he was just going to town jerking it. Like, he was just watching that score just, oh, my God, I'm almost there.
Not that other fantasy leagues matter for the purpose of this podcast, but I just have to say, I lost a matchup because Mark Andrews went full Mandrews and got like 50 fucking points. I don't understand. And I looked it up. Eric has Mark Andrews and lost. And that's just sad to me.
Eric, your team needs to do better, man.
Yeah,
Was he playing CEH and then he got hurt and got 0 points? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
that trade was shit.
And the best part about that is that Joe has CEH's backup.
No. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
I swear to God, I don't understand how Joe is fielding a team with nothing but running backs.
What do you mean nothing but running backs? We ran through his wide receivers.
Although I will say that the rest of them were in the middle of the pack until Carlos, for some reason, gave him Ja'Marr Chase and David Montgomery for, I think, a half soft boiled egg and
a bag of
piece
Skittles.
Of burnt toast. I don't know.
You got Gibson out of it. It's...
That tells me the trade wasn't worth it. When you go, I guess, this guy-ish.
Because it's like our attitude towards Antonio Gibson on this podcast, I'm speaking for both of you right now, so correct me if I'm wrong, is an overwhelming, okay.
I love Antonio Gibson. Let me start by saying that.
Fantasy-wise, I also like him, but like this year, not so much.
Yeah. I think he's a great running back. I think he's having a shit year, and I don't see how it gets better.
I'm also like, I'm looking at Carlos's roster, and I'm not entirely sure why he felt the need. Like, I get it. He lost Montgomery, and he needs to do something. Right? He needs to win. He needs to win now. He can't sit here and lose for 5 weeks while he waits for Montgomery to come back. But I'm not convinced.
I don't think you understand how bad Carlos wants to beat me.
That trade screamed to me.
Like, I looked at that trade and I went, you are making this trade not for the rest of the season. You are making this trade so you can get Antonio Gibson, so you can shove him down my throat. And I'm here for it, especially because it didn't work. I love the strategy. It's gonna kill his team.
I think the gonna part of that sentence is unnecessary. It killed his team.
Yeah, I mean, you can't lose Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, that was probably the worst part of that. Losing, I mean, granted, he's been slowly progressing as the season has gone on in terms of NFL value and fantasy value, but
I mean, he's gotten better every week. That's not the kind of player you trade.
Yeah, exactly. To be fair,
it was a slow start. And like, Cincinnati. And Joe Burrow is one injury away from Ja'Marr Chase being worthless.
I mean, how many teams do we want to go down the road with that sentence?
Pretty much everyone but, like, Buffalo.
No. Buffalo's one injury away from NFL MVP Trubisky winning a Super Bowl.
That's my point, is the only team that can withstand a starter injury and can maintain their current trajectory is Buffalo. Maybe, arguably, the Bears, now that Justin Fields is the starter and Andy Dalton is healthy.
Nope.
But
I feel like...
Here's the thing. The NFL as a whole, NFL fans, Bears fans in particular, love what's going on with the Bears. And as a Bears fan, sure, me too. They won a game they shouldn't have won. The Raiders should have beat the Bears. I had them pegged for a loss there. I get it. Also, Justin Fields, coach killer. That's all I'm saying. That's the trend right now. John Gruden's out. Do the Bears play Jacksonville at any point this season? Because that's when Urban Meyer's getting fired.
Can the Bears play themselves?
Maybe in a scrimmage of some kind, perhaps, during the week?
Sure. Yeah. Maybe one that Khalil Mack sits out so we don't kill Justin Fields, but also like can still get Nagy fired.
Sure. Yeah, the next time an NFL franchise goes up for sale, the three of us should submit a bid just for fun. Be like, listen... We got approval for a loan. We can give you $10
upfront, $10 loan. All for of $20,000.
Our collateral is going to be student loans, and this pack of Tic Tacs I found under the seat of my car when I was trying to find the French fry that fell because I'm hungry and poor.
Now, what will you get with that? We can guarantee almost specifically that we won't get caught up in multiple sex scandals.
It'll just be one.
And we've already talked to Clyde. He knows what he's not supposed to do.
There's a line. Clearly, topless cheerleader shoots is the line. I think we can keep it underneath that.
Sure, sure. I mean, well, bottomless is probably also a bad idea, so let's just keep everyone clothed at all times. We'll make a pants rule. Everyone has to be wearing pants and shirts.
But ironically,
keep the whole no cheerleader thing going.
Well, I mean, I think the selling point for us owning an NFL franchise is we bring a long tradition of championships to the table. We've all got a championship under our belt, no pun intended.
It's true. We have
that pun was absolutely intended.
Yes, it was. And I love it.
That would actually be a pretty good styling case to the Redskins.
We've yeah, because obviously managing an actual football team is exactly like managing a fantasy football team. It's the same thing.
Wait.
Get higher stakes and more money. Yeah, get the best players.
We would be trading Antonio Gibson tomorrow.
I mean, here's the thing. This is what we would do. We would do it like dynasty style, right? So you walk into that team. We take over the Washington football team. We change the name to literally anything else. And then we sell every single piece of that team, including the stadium. Then we move the team to somewhere that we actually enjoy living, and we go from there. We would Jim Irsay this entire thing.
Congratulations, you're all fired. We're moving the team somewhere else.
Where would we move it to?
Bye.
Like,
I don't know. That's a good question. If we owned an NFL franchise, where would we move it to? I mean, I think Chicago deserves a second team. The Bears have given us nothing but mediocrity for hundreds of years.
Especially if the Bears move out to Arlington Heights, then we just walk in and take over Soldier Field, and we are golden.
I mean, my personal vote is to give LA a third team just to see what would happen.
No. No, if anything, it's either Chicago Part 2 or back to San Diego.
I second this motion. I second this motion so hard. I'm all here for the San Diego whatever you want to call it.
Ooh, what would our team name be? So we would go from the Washington football team to the San Diego Supersonics? Is that taken? Anybody using that?
Not in that league.
I don't think so. That would go over so well. We just name them the San Diego Chargers. That's taken. Is it, though?
The San Diego Electrifiers.
I like the San Diego Super Doers.
What about the San Diego Hands-Free Chargers?
The Wireless Chargers?
The Wireless Chargers.
Ooh, I like that.
It's modern. It's keeping up with technology.
Obviously, our mascot is a puck, so...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not a hockey puck. Charging puck.
Yeah.
Charging puck or Alexa or some shit like that. It'd be great.
Ooh, the San Diego Smart Home.
Oh.
You know, my brother works for Google. So maybe we go the San Diego Google Home, and we get Google to sponsor.
I mean,
yeah.
Can we do what the Arizona Cardinals almost did and just go full Pink Taco Stadium?
Yes. I would absolutely... Like, you and I... Like, the three of us would take over, and the first thing we would do is just buy a stadium deal with Pink Taco. We wouldn't even have a stadium, but we'd be like, well, we get one, Pink Taco. We would have it written in that you cannot call it anything but the Pink Taco. Like... either way, I think that would be the best form of advertisement I'd ever heard, because I don't know about you, but if I heard there's a stadium that we can't name or show you because of censorship reasons, I'm on the first bus there.
I feel like Clyde just gave a very telling admission into who he is.
Yes, if you ban something so hard that they're like, we can't show you or tell you what it is, but we're here, I'm in. I'm curious.
I mean, this surprises me very little.
Same, but, you know, I just felt like it had to be called out.
Hey, so, fantasy football.
Happened.
Yeah. I think we talked about stuff and things. We talked about Joe a little bit. He's good. He has players that are good. If you want good players, you should go to Joe and try to get good players. And please don't make his team better in the process, because that is hard to watch.
It is an upsetting trend. upset.
I'm not sure how he continues to win trades. Seemingly by trading with desperate teams only. But it's a good strategy. It's one that I hope to emulate.
Eventually.
It is working. I mean, it also helps that he drafted 9 running backs and now has 48 of them.
I mean, he has all starting 32 and their backups, so clearly he's got 64.
Right. Yes.
Per our discussion earlier, I fully expect to wake up tomorrow with him picking up Mitch Trubisky. Like, and all of us going, of fucking course he did. And right. Then next week, Josh Allen's arm just falls off.
Right, because the episode's not out yet, so he'll do the thing that we talk about him doing, and then it looks like he did it, and then we talked about it. But no. We, in fact, can tell the future on this podcast.
I mean, it's clear that we're bugged. I don't know whether he bugged your house. He bugged ours. He bugged.
I assume upstairs. That he's bugged Tom, as he has the most opportunity to bug Tom. So really, I blame Tom for all of this.
I'm looking at Tom's eyes right now, and he is actively texting Joe, telling him to pick him up. Aren't you, you sack of shit? We found our mole!
I wouldn't give you guys that satisfaction.
Insert
I would like to call collusion. I would like to call collusion on the podcast.
Collusion!
At the very least, shenanigans.
At least our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
So Joe's good. You know, fun fact, Joe and Tom are matched up in the coming week, and I know we haven't even really started to go through the previous week, but who the fuck cares? Joe versus Tom this week, 1-2. I love it.
I got to stop you right there, Mike. I think, because you're right, we hadn't really talked about last week. I would like a 30-second recap of all of the matchups from last week.
Let me think. Hold on, I got this. Tom won, Joe won, Mike won, Dan won?
Yeah, I know, right?
Carlos lost.
To me. Hi, Carlos.
I'm forgetting who else won.
Caesar.
Did Eddie? Cesar won. Cesar won on accident, though.
Well, Caesar won in spite of himself. He texted me during the game, the first slate of games, with a, I forgot to take my Adderall. And, you know, you look at his roster, he left Dalvin Cook in, and he's clearly slated to lose because of that, except he was going against Eric, who, for like the third week in a row, had his entire team implode in front of his eyes.
Except for Mark Andrews.
Eric lost his fucking kicker this week. Like, does it get what? Like, how does that happen? How do you have you lose everything, and then it's like, well, fuck, we'll take your kicker too.
No. Who, I mean, what? It gets better than that because he lost his star running back for a minute, right, and decided to replace it, only to lose his star running back, and then his kicker. Like, that's just icing on the cake.
Tom, do you have access to Eric's roster? Easy access? Because he lost a lot more than a running back and a kicker.
30 seconds. Here we go. All right. So it's hard to tell because he's made some changes already. But he lost Russell Wilson.
There it is.
Did Chase Edmonds leave the game?
No, but he's questionable.
Chase Edmonds is questionable. Joe Mixon is questionable.
He lost Joe Mixon.
He lost Cody Parkey. Which, like, why would you even pick up Cody Parkey, dude? Come on. He lost CEH. He lost Juju, assuming he started Juju.
Oh, he lost Juju for the year.
Okay, so here's the sad thing. Mike, how many IR spots do we have on our roster?
I want to say 5.
See, this is what's really shitty about Eric's current team. Also, quick side note. This is not the first kicker he lost.
I know!
His IR is full, and he still has Michael Gallup, Juju Smith-Schuster, CEH, Tariq Cohen, not to mention any of his questionable players, and Russell Wilson, not in his IR. This is amazing. I've never seen this.
He is the emergency room. Like, that is, we've had this team name before. I believe it was Dan in like 2015. But like, if you are a player and you have been, are on, or at this point, if Eric is thinking about picking you up, you should wrap yourself in bubble wrap. You should stay in a bed under a blanket, and you should wait. Just wait Eric out. Let him get another wide receiver, and then you go to training camp or whatever the fuck we're to practice. Then you go to practice. Like, this is something I had started to say earlier, and then we got sidetracked, I think, with our Pink Taco Stadium thing. This wonderful game that we play is there's always going to be a high degree of luck involved in anybody's success. I think, you know, a perfect example. This season is like two extremes. I have never seen a team as lucky as Joe is. And I have never seen a team as unlucky as Eric is. And I don't understand what the hell is happening.
I don't know, Mike. I've never seen anything like it either. It is... Like, I just keep looking at Eric's roster, and I just can't. Like, it's so bad.
I mean, at this point, if I'm Eric, I lean into it. If you got a player on IR, I trade for it. Like, I line up an entire roster of IR spot players.
Eric, here's your new team name. This is a thing we've been doing the last few weeks. Let's keep it going. Eric, your new team name is Bring Out Your Dead.
I love it. I don't love the idea of a team with nothing but IR players because, you know, like...
I mean, if you've got, like, 30 of them already, why not? What do you got to lose aside from making us all laugh? And if this league's not about us laughing and having fun, what in the fuck is it for? Fuck you and your belt, Mike.
What else happened this week? So Eric lost to Caesar. Caesar, I believe, the lowest scoring winning team, which was me last week, so I'm happy it's not me this week. I was the second lowest scoring winning team this week because Dan managed to net himself, I believe, some 217, 218, somewhere in there, points. And beat Matt, who, if there was a team that was almost as unlucky as Eric, it would be Matt. It's another kind of example of the luck dichotomy in the league. We have Tom, who scored 272 points,
something
like that. And then we've got Matt, who can't catch a goddamn break, lost all of his Giants players in one go, and is just scrounging for scraps at the bottom of the waiver wire at this point.
On that note, if anybody hadn't seen the picture of Saquon Barkley's ankle when it was the size of a basketball, do yourself a favor and just avoid it. It's absolutely disgusting.
He did not show me that courtesy when I came home on Sunday and promptly showed me that photo.
And how much did you enjoy it, Tom?
It was pretty gross.
I've never seen projectile vomit like that in my life. Point is, I feel like normally it's much more condensed. We get a couple lucky teams that are kind of lucky. We got some unlucky teams. But this year it's like, no. All of the luck belongs to this team, and all of the bad luck belongs to this other team. With some, you know, collateral damage in the form of Matt's team.
I have no comment, because I'm getting all the luck right now.
Caesar is in fourth place, and he's right in there with me at, I think, what are we, 3-2, both of us? And I'm lucky, and that's why I'm in the third overall spot, because I have, statistically speaking, at least on a points basis, the easiest schedule. I have the least amount of points, or the fewest amount of points scored against me. What I think is interesting is until this week, Tom actually had the lowest amount of points scored against him, which lends credence to his I haven't played a real team yet theory, and I think, Tom,
I stand by that theory.
Well, I think you would admit, though, that you did play a real team this week. You just got, and you would have won anyway before Monday Night Football, but you did get incredibly lucky in scoring 270-something points because it required Lamar Jackson to get 53, and you got 80 points from like two players.
It was not Lamar Jackson because I don't have Lamar Jackson.
Joe has Lamar Jackson. You have Marquise Brown.
Taylor and Marquise Brown, yes.
Yeah, Taylor. So you got 60 points from two players. Joe had 53 points from his quarterback, which is why he got, I think, 260-something and just walloped. Who did Joe play?
He played Eddie. Have a real team.
Right. Eddie tries so hard. I think what I'm most amazed by is the fact that the injury bug has hit Joe's team like really, really hard, except it's only players that he has gotten rid of.
I mean, maybe the dude is psychic. Who knows? I also am strongly, I would consider offering him a trade, and now I might not.
Tell me more.
I mean, I need some running back depth. I have three great running backs. Eventually, they're going to have to go on bye.
Ah, yes. The infamous bye weeks. We are officially at that point in the season. Week 6, the first slate of bye weeks, and we got some doozies. I believe we have the Saints on a bye. Who else is on a bye? I don't know, and it doesn't matter. You should check your own lineups. Point is, there are quite a few teams on a bye, and this is when trades start to become important. A reminder that trade deadline wise, this is the halfway point, so you got another 6 weeks before trades cut off. That's week 12.
San Francisco is the other team on bye this week.
San Francisco. There were a couple more, I think. Is it just two teams on bye?
Let me dig deeper.
A lot of teams on bye, I think. I don't know. Handful of teams on bye. A few teams on bye. There are various teams on bye. And I'm going to assume that neither Tom nor Joe is negatively impacted by bye weeks. I take that back. Tom, you are playing Joe. Joe has Alvin Kamara. Joe is maybe negatively. No, he's not. Fuck, he has 27 running backs. He's not negatively impacted by a bye week. He can just slide them in. He's getting Christian McCaffrey back this week, maybe.
I was going to say, he may not be negatively impacted by it, but he does not gain the advantage of potentially getting McCaffrey back this week. Not playing a team that has Kamara and McCaffrey could be my saving grace this week.
He's also missing Cordell Patterson because the Jets and Falcons also are owned by because they were in London.
Yes. So he's down, you know, two players that he would have started, that he did start. This past week in week 5 when he trounced Eddie. Was that all the matchups? Did we do a... Tom, did we do... I mean, it was longer than 30 seconds, but did we cover everything? We hit everybody? You know, Carlos was, again, humiliated by me. I will admit that I was really worried there for a minute. And,
Do you think that Carlos borrowed Cesar's tears of rage during your matchup?
Just 30% of them.
Yeah.
Which is probably why he lost.
Yeah, you got
to
go.
Might want to up that to like 50-55% somewhere in there.
At this point, I figure that Cesar has that trademarked. And if he doesn't, he should.
I mean, I am almost positive he doesn't listen, so we should just trademark it and put it on a t-shirt, and that can be merch number 3.
Man, when we drop this merch line, it's going to be fun.
Tom, what do you want? You know, I think we should each get a t-shirt. I don't know what mine would be, but do you have a t-shirt idea for yourself? You know, Clyde has Blinka Blow, and I guess we got to figure out how to spell that. But
4 W's.
Only 4 W's? It seems like it'd be more than 4.
4 W's.
Is there like punctuation or?
Oh, it's like 8 exclamation points.
Got it. Okay. But Tom, do you have do you have an idea of what you want some podcast merch to be, like a shirt, a hat, something that represents your presence here?
It's probably an empty whiskey glass.
Ooh.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a real good one.
Like tipped over with just like a drop coming out.
No, I would never waste a drop.
No, it's just one of these, you know, one of the Glencairn glasses or something. Maybe a rocks glass, I don't know. But does it have like something like etched into it? You know, your little sign-off phrase.
No, if it has anything in the glass, it's probably whatever our logo is for this podcast when we finally truly make one.
Oh, we should talk about a logo. Yeah, that's a fun idea. Clyde, you do designy things. Make a logo. I can put it on our anchor thing. Because right now it's just the nerd glasses, a keyboard, and a football.
We got the only thing that came inexplicable
red, white, and blue background that I don't understand. That was a stock photo that I found.
The only thing I could think of immediately was like a dick with a belt. It's just a giant purple, like, floppy dick holding the belt with the balls.
I think, let's be real, there's a very real chance Joe wins the league this year, right?
For Joe to not win the league, you would probably have to beat him, because right now it's going to be you versus Joe in the championship. And
You have more faith in my team than I do. I like my team. It's coming along very well. I think this past week was a fluke. It'll never happen again.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm just saying right now it's you and Joe. The only way Joe doesn't win this league is he makes a boneheaded trade, or the injury bug manages to start hitting players that are actually still on his team as opposed to were recently on his team. And he's got Mike Williams. There's a good chance for that. He's got Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen, I could see being injury prone. Cooper Kupp, I think, might be invincible. Christian McCaffrey could very well get re-injured. I feel like Alvin Kamara is generally pretty durable. I could see him missing a couple games here or there for something. But I think Joe, with the exception of those players that I just mentioned, like, has a fairly durable team. And the problem is, even if he doesn't have a durable team, he has the depth to back it up. As we have so wonderfully pointed out recently, Joe's bench is another starting roster in and of itself, which is absurd.
It's mind-boggling.
But true. What I'm concerned about is that we all sat there and let it happen.
That's one thing I keep thinking about, too. Like, think what you will about the Christian McCaffrey trade. McCaffrey has not helped him yet. He has done as good as he has been doing without him.
I beat him, and I'm the only one to do so thus far. And granted, it was before he went all Hulk smash on us. But if we all do our part, and I did my part already, so I'm exempt from the following. Just beat him. All you gotta do is beat Joe. And then he can't win, because he'll be out of the playoffs. So it'll be great. If everyone from here on out who plays Joe beats Joe, Joe's just in the toilet bowl. And I realize that his schedule includes Tom, you. So best chance probably right there.
I think I have the best chance.
I think he hasn't.
Until McCaffrey's on bye, I have the best chance.
Sure. Clyde, did you play Joe yet?
Yeah, Mike Williams beat my ass.
Right. So Dan hasn't played Joe yet.
I get a second shot at that. I get one more shot at it.
Oh, I also get a second shot at Joe, and I'm terrified.
We need to be really sensitive to Carlos's week this week, because it was not good. I mean, he lost to Mike, the Brewers lost to the Braves. He's just not having a good sports week this week.
That had to come up.
It's just not been good. I have done so well not texting him, just Freddie Freeman hugging the rent like the air. It's just, I want Freddie to give him a big old hug. Anyway.
So Carlos loses to me.
Sorry, again, Carlos.
In the revenge matchup, the championship revenge matchup. And admittedly, a really close game, similarly to the championship game. Like, this literally did come down to Monday Night Football, and I was very concerned because he had a DB who kept doing things, and my wide receiver did very few things until he did very many things, as, you know, fantasy football tends to go. But I was worried there, and now I feel pretty good. And Carlos probably, I would imagine, feels pretty bad. And he's hugging Diego.
Mike, I will say, you have obviously won the love and affection of Susie, who can absolutely take Diego. You know, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
Susie has what I assume is roughly 65 pounds on Diego. So maybe, probably.
She's not that big.
I still take Diego in that fight.
Diego weighs what? I don't know. It's been a minute.
20 pounds at most.
At most, has to be. So Diego's going to have like speed, agility, and just general fighting dirtiness on his side. And Susie's going to have to rely on her very thick skull in that battle.
Susie is also surprisingly quick and agile. She's gotten old, so she's lost some of what she had as a pup, but I don't think you could give me odds good enough to take Diego.
All right, I think it's settled. We're doing a pup cage match. Carlos, bring Diego. Dan, bring Finn and Ace. Matt, bring Max. My money here is on Max because Max is fucking crazy and he will stab everyone, myself included.
Yeah, my money would be on Max there. He comes in with a gun, like, just in his claw, in his little pup hands. Just, what? I've seen that neighborhood. I know how that dog acts.
Tom, who's your money on?
Still Susie.
I don't understand.
That's a homer pick, man. It's a homer pick.
Yeah, 101. I still take Diego, man. I think Susie's got the weight. I think Diego's got the energy and the, you know, cunning. I think he can get around.
Now, I know Dan's going to get mad if we don't talk about Dan a little bit. So let's talk about Dan a little bit. Dan won. Anyway, Tom also won, and that's more important.
Dan has been yelling at his radio for the last 45 to 65 minutes.
Well, you know, as we recently discovered, I have been saying, fuck you, Dan, since the 2013 season when I changed my team name to Fuck You, Dan.
That was a great one.
It was a great one. I enjoyed that. It will probably happen again this season because as Dan goes, or I should say as James Robinson goes, so goes Dan. Is James Robinson having a good game? Dan's going to win. Does James Robinson have nothing going on? Well, neither does Dan. The two are tied. Their fates are married. And I don't think I would want to be married to anybody on the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, and that very much includes, and first on the list is, Urban Meyer.
I'm pretty sure Urban Meyer's got his hands on other things.
I think you mean in other things.
Anyway, who haven't we talked about yet from the week? I don't know, we talked about Joe, we talked about Tom, we didn't really talk about you. You did well. We never finished talking about Dan.
I thought that was it.
I mean, we could do that. Who did Dan play?
Dan is actively yelling at stuff right now. Like, I can just imagine him the entire time you said fuck you, Dan, to now. He has been yelling obscenities, screaming, he's throwing stuff. Like, he pulled over the car, because you know he's listening to this in the car. He pulled over to shout obscenities, and now he's like, oh, and now you want to talk about it. Set up, motherfucker.
Listen, I also agree that Dan needs to do something about his anger. But who did Dan play?
So, before we get into that, I must say, I really enjoyed Dan's guest spot last week. To honor Dan's guest spot, I think we need to compare his game to a food.
Okay.
Or we could change it up and compare his game to, like, a book or...
Well, Dan can't read, so...
So we shouldn't
can't
do
compare
that.
It to a book.
A beer?
Ooh, there it is. Let's do that. In Dan's honor, what beer... If Dan's win was a beer, what beer would it be? And why?
Too easy.
Okay.
Bourbon County Stout.
Bourbon County Stout. Now, are we talking a regular? Are we talking a variant?
We're talking regular.
Okay.
Because Dan scored 217 points last week.
Sure.
Solid score.
Not bad.
I mean, he beat Matt by 50 points. My argument is that Bourbon County Stout is a very solid beer. You will never be upset to have one. You will never be upset with a 50-point win while scoring 217 points.
Who did he beat again? Was it Matt?
It was Matt. Yes. So just to be clear, just to underline it for everybody, Dan, formerly last place Dan, beat Matt, current 8th place Matt, by 50 points. Now, I'm not going to make excuses for Matt, but he did lose Saquon Barkley. But Saquon Barkley is not getting 50 points. So even with Saquon Barkley, Matt loses this matchup. Again, largely because James Robinson, but also because Robert Woods.
Did Devontae Parker not play last week?
Also, Matt left in some players that he shouldn't have left in. Devontae Parker did not play. So really, Matt did it to himself. Granted, if you look at his bench, he also can't make up the difference.
Agreed. I mean, really, Saquon Barkley doesn't get hurt. Devontae Parker plays. You're looking at a closer matchup, but I still think Dan squeaks
out. You still probably lose by 20.
Unless they both have outstanding days.
Fine, I'll give you 10. You lose by 10. The point is, you handed me a Bourbon County stout. I'm not going to say no to it. I like it. I'm going to take it. I support this. Clyde, rebuttal?
I mean, it was Dan's team. I was barely paying attention.
Oh, good point. It is Dan's team, which means... See, Bourbon County Stout starts off as a good beer, and then it goes into a barrel and becomes a better beer. Dan is probably... You know what Dan is? Here's Dan. Dan's team is not a Bourbon County Stout. Dan's team is... Run to Daylight. Run to Daylight is a Hop Butcher beer. It's the best beer I think that they have on Untappd. It's like their highest rated beer. So it's very good. I've had it. I like it. But it's been sitting in the fridge for like 3 months, so it just tastes like honey and stale hops, and that's Dan's team. It's a great beer. I love it, and it's fine. Still good, but not great. Or like the freshest Miller Lite. I don't know. It's the alternative.
Actively yelling at stuff. He's now throwing stuff out the window at random cars that are driving by, envisioning your face as the driver. He's actually paused the podcast to stop to get Miller Lite so he can throw it at the cars next to him because all he sees is your face in the driver's seat.
Dan stopped at Target, bought a case of Miller Lite, and then proceeded to throw it at the 12-year-old working the checkout, and now we have to go bail him out.
We're going to eventually go over to Dan's place, and he's just going to have Miller Lite for us. He'll be rocking, like, barrel-aged bourbon stout. He'll be like, no, I got beer for the group. It's all good. We're going to get there, because he still owes us a beer bet, I believe. Does he not?
He owes me some beer, yeah.
Yeah, he owes me one, too. I think we're just getting Miller Lights now. Like, I think that just... That's what we're going to get. We'll even get like 12 cases of that shit, but that's what he's getting us now.
Long story short, Tom, I will allow. I agree. Dan can be Bourbon County this week. But Matt is a beer that's been open for a week and I left in the fridge and I'm like, I don't know. I feel bad letting it go to waste. So I'm going to drink it and then I do and then I have a bad time.
No, he's actually Bud Light. He's a Bud Light that's been in the fridge for the last 8 months.
Is he a Bud Light Lime? Can he be a Bud Light Lime?
Yeah, it's not yeah.
It's opening.
Yeah, it's not even like a fresh Bud Light Lime, though. It's one that's been in the, like, it's been hidden behind all the leftovers and, like, whatever condiments you got in there. And you're like, you clearly, you're like, oh, look, there's a, it's a Bud Light Lime. Oh, it's been a year. But it's the only thing I got. Ugh. And then you suffer.
Yeah, that seems like, I assume, what Matt does every time he, like, opens Sleeper and looks at his team. So, yeah. I think we're all on the same page on that one. If we didn't talk about you in this little part here that has gone on for 9 hours, we're sorry. And I think I have to apologize directly to Eddie. You're bad. Joe, we highlighted you a bunch but didn't talk about your matchup against Eddie, who is bad. And
Eric.
Caesar, you won, and that's fine. Eric, we talked about you.
I just want to reiterate that Eddie is bad. Not a
Should
real
he
team.
Feel bad? Should he feel bad?
I mean, he won't because he's Eddie, but he should because his team is bad.
Who didn't we talk about? It doesn't matter. Moving on.
Cesar, but he was too stoned to notice, so.
Maybe he should fucking do his punishment, and then we'll actually enjoy talking about his team.
That's right, fuck him.
Who?
Exactly.
Tom, we got Week 6 coming up. Who's playing who and what's going on?
Oh, are we still talking fantasy?
That's, I think, what we're here to do.
Into hour 3.
30-second
rundown. Is it hour 3? I don't think that's accurate.
30-second rundown, are we ready?
30-second rundown.
All right, Week 6. We're going to go bottom to top because obviously we got to save the best for last. Eddie and his We Try So Hard, Except We're Still Not a Team, is going to lose to Cesar, assuming he takes his Adderall. Eric, just bench all your players. Matt, enjoy your easy win. Carlos, I don't think your rage is going to outwin the spite. Dan, congrats. Let's make
it 4 in a row. It's rage versus spite?
It is rage versus spite, and I think spite's going to win.
I love it.
Honestly, the matchup I'm looking forward to the most is going to be you two. I honestly don't know who I want to lose more.
I looking at the matchup, man, I think it's a coin flip.
I agree. Absolutely. It's absolutely a coin flip.
This is the worst type of matchup between me and Mike, where we both hate our teams.
Yeah, it's going to be the, all right, well, I made all of the right calls. Let's see, to my earlier points, who's lucky today? And I don't like my chances because Clyde just got a 16-game fucking parlay and won $6,700, except he didn't. But we all agree that that was the right call. Point is, I'm not feeling as lucky as that man clearly is.
So to counteract that counterpoint, the luck's going to go downhill quick somewhere. It has to come out. Like, it has to stop. And as we speak right now, I'm winning my parlay right now, which means somewhere this week, like, the bottom's going to fall out.
Do you have any players going tomorrow?
It's Tampa versus who?
Philly?
Yeah, I got Miles Sanders.
I hope he dies.
It's not Miles actually. Sanders.
Is it in Philly? Is it in Tampa Bay? It doesn't matter. I just want him to take a lovely, refreshing nap and miss the game.
As long as the Philadelphia OC still has a job, you don't have to worry about Miles Sanders.
I hope you lose badly to me, who wins by a lot, which I haven't done all season. So it's going to be a bit of a barn burner, and I'm going to be stressed out, and we're not going to be friends for a little while afterwards, probably. That's okay.
It's probably a good thing we're not watching football together this week.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. It works. It's fairly good timing.
Like, I can't remember the last time we played each other that we were in the same room, but it does not end well.
It doesn't need to start now.
Thankfully, because this is week 6, we only have to do this once a year. This is it. Until the playoffs, which inevitably we will match up for reasons.
And I will inevitably beat you, as is tradition.
Only if it's the championship. Only if it's the championship.
And only if you score a record-setting amount of points in that season. Or literally any other time, because you can't win in the playoffs.
We had to bring that. Like, I'll tell the story again. I'm not kidding. That year, I'm sitting on the couch watching the games in the championship with my dad. And I told him before the game started, I'm in the championship. It's me and Mike. My team has killed it. My team that year had torn apart the league. And we watched my team lay the biggest goose egg I had ever seen. And as we're watching, I haven't said a single word. I've just sat there and taken it. The last night game ends. I turn off the TV. My dad looks up from the laptop, looks at the screen, looks over at me, goes, "How'd you do?" And I just walked out of the room. I got up, and I left. And he went, "Got it." Went back to his laptop.
That's almost as good as Jennifer accidentally shaming Carlos for being bad. Tom, lastly, who we got?
That would be me versus Joe in what Mike is considering, arguably, the preview of the championship game.
It's the matchup of the year. 270-something versus 260-something. Luck versus luck. It's the battle of who has the leprechaun up their ass the furthest.
I'll be honest with you, Mike. I'm terrified.
I don't blame you.
I was pretty scared to play Clyde last week, you know, facing a real team for the first time. Going into the Monday night game, I really thought it was a crapshoot. I mean, it worked out somehow way better than I ever expected. I don't think I'm getting that lucky this week.
What is the projection on that at the moment?
The way we both have our roster set at the moment, it is my 218.68 to his 203.9.
So that's a Wednesday night 15-point difference.
Correct.
You see that change in anywhere? Like, he hasn't, since we started talking, he hasn't picked up the players that we suggested he should pick up or make the roster moves that we suggested he should make, right?
No. Honestly, I think what is going to hurt him the most and slash maybe help me the most, aside from Alvin Kamara being on bye this week, is IDPs. If you look at our IDP matchups, that is where my strength lies versus him specifically, and where I think I have my best shot at beating him this week.
If I'm recalling my rosters, and again, I don't have it in front of me, does Joe not have a really solid linebacking core? Where's his weakness on the IDP front? Maybe don't answer that question.
It's not so much that he has a weakness, it's that I think I have a higher strength in that category. So it's not like he's got a few IDP that are projected pretty low. Robert Quinn is projected at 2 points, which one sack changes that. Again, I don't think he's necessarily weak. I think I'm just a little bit stronger.
By about 15 points, it sounds like.
Yes.
Are we going to come down to a 1 versus 2, and it will be a kicker off, a linebacker off? Like, are we looking at the offenses take care of business and you win or lose because this DB went off like Derwin James went off for me last week?
I think that is entirely possible.
Clyde, big question here. Tom, Joe, who you got?
Remember the Super Bowl when I constantly asked for the earth to open up and swallow both teams?
You want the figurative fantasy earth to open up and swallow Tom and Joe's teams.
I mean, if Sleeper could just have a wild glitch and have them both lose somehow, that'd be great.
I mean, I assume they would fix the glitch, no?
No, in my mind, it's just forever. It's like it's a set thing in motion, like a set in time. You can't change it. But if they could tie...
I want nothing more, Tom. I want nothing more, Tom, than for you and Joe to tie. That makes the most sense to my brain.
A sub-200 tie. Like a 165 tie that makes no sense.
Like out of nowhere, you're both the lowest scoring teams of the week, inexplicably, and you tie. Like 127.03. Don't know how, don't know why, that's just what happens. Like, three games just don't get played for whatever. Everybody gets COVID. I don't know.
They forfeit, but like both sides forfeit. They get up to, they flip the coin, and then they both get, you know what? We won an off week. We forfeit. The other team's like, we won an off week. We forfeit. They shake hands.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the problem. If that's what happens, and my forecast of Tom versus Joe in the championship becomes true, what if they tie again? What's the tiebreaker? Because they don't play each other again until the playoffs.
Points. It's always points.
Points 4.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I mean, not if you if you're just taking sleeper out of this, and then you mean in the league. What's the tiebreaker? Oh, it's a case race. No, no, no.
It's a case race.
It's a sudden death steel cage match case race.
Sure.
You're gonna have to explain to me how the sudden death steel cage match portion like works into the case race. Like, I get a case race.
Oh, no. It's not just a case race. It's a never-ending case race. The first one to pass out loses. You finish a case. Congratulations. Here's case number two. You can't leave the fucking cage until somebody passes out.
Well, in this case, I just hope Joe and I tie.
But you would only be doing this because of a tie. So what is the tiebreaker for the case race tiebreaker?
Oh, no, no, no. There won't be a case race tiebreaker. I hope we tie and we end up having to do the case race.
And Mike, in your mind, when they tie during the case race, we all win.
I assume for a tie to take place during a case race, both participants have to die. That's the only way I assume that happens. Like, somebody's going to wake up and be like, I'm losing, I'm tied, I'm going to have another beer. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. They both completely drink until they can't stand up, and then we all celebrate and then take them to the hospital.
Tom, can you outdrink Joe?
Easily.
Joe, I'm waiting for a rebuttal.
His rebuttal will be, yeah, he can.
Sounds like Joe needs to start training.
I feel like Joe's wife should
anticipate a case race to finish the season. Well, that's a look at week... What the fuck are we in? Six?
Six.
All right. That's a look at week six. That was a look at week five, I think. Anything to highlight that we haven't already highlighted?
Do we need a bet update?
Oh, bet update. We do need a bet update. Julio Jones misses his second straight game.
This is my scared face.
Yeah, he practiced today. Ooh. All he has to do is miss, like, I don't know how many more games.
Eight.
More games.
No, not even eight.
He needs to miss six more games after this week.
Right, he has to play 10, correct, for you to win, Clyde?
Yes. Again, this is my scared face.
Well, as far as my bets go, I have not heard anything about Michael Thomas coming back in week 5, 6, 7, whatever that
the
is.
The only thing I heard today was that it's not looking good, and maybe he'll be back up to speed eventually, but he is probably not going to come off when he's eligible.
So probably going to win that bet. Thanks, Matt. And so far, the only bet that I'm even remotely worried about, but also not really because it's Sammy Watkins, is my bet with Clyde on whether or not Sammy Watkins scores more than like 13.6 points.
I thought that was going to happen on Monday. He caught those like three in a row, and I was like, oh, shit, here it is.
Yeah, I looked at it, and I was like, oh, man, I really missed out on taking that bet.
If he gets a touchdown, like, this is it.
Then he got hurt and, you know, did nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is my scared face. I'm not worried. We got 12 more weeks to go. We're good. We're fine.
Okay.
Of note, and I think we already noted it, but Clyde already paid up on a bet to me.
I did.
So in terms of winning streaks and losing streaks, you know, his gambling is going well. The league bets, not going well. Nope. So just saying, if there's a trend, let it be that Julio Jones continues to cover.
I've won one, so I'm 500 on league bets.
Oh, yeah, Dan owes you. I keep forgetting about Dan because Dan just exists over there and never pays up on his dues.
Dan is an easy win, man. Like, even outside of fantasy, like, if you want
an
easy win,
make a bet with Dan.
Make a bet with Dan.
Bet with Dan right now.
That's too easy.
Do you not like beer? Do you not like delicious, delicious beer? Make a bet with Dan. It's too easy. Like, he'll give you beer.
Not if he doesn't pay up, though.
We will, Mike, you and I will find a bet. Oh, 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 this is too easy. It is too easy. Mike, who are you playing this week?
I'm playing you.
Mike, who am I playing this week?
Is it Tom?
It's you. What say you to a Bourbon County Stout beer bet on the victor of our matchup.
Tell me more.
The team that wins is owed a Bourbon County Stout from the loser.
Any vintage or a 2021 vintage?
I think since we're in 2021, it should be a 2021 because this is the 2021 matchup of the Clyde and Mike show.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you what.
Tell me
I'm
what.
I'm in for this bet.
Okay.
Let's do it. I encourage everybody, Commissioner's Corner, I encourage everybody to make more bets. I think it's fun. It's been fun to this point. I'm enjoying the bet tracking. I will take your bet. Winner of our matchup is owed a 2021 Bourbon County brand stout.
I will go from further. I will go further. Nah, I won't. I was going to say we can share it, but I think the winner deserves to have their own Bourbon County stout. The second can't be shared, but I think the winner should have their own.
The loser should also have their own, but the loser should have to supply both.
Yes. That's where I was going.
And then do a bottle race.
No. we can do a bottle race we'll do a bottle race and a bottle of fucking whiskey in a heartbeat, but I am not going to waste a Bourbon County Stout.
I'm sorry. Hold on. You will bottle race a bottle of whiskey, but you won't bottle. I feel like
a cheap bottle of whiskey
would do less.
Mellow corn.
Tom, back me up here. Tom. Like, would you rather do a bottle race on a bottle of whiskey or a Bourbon County?
I mean, Bourbon County, hands down.
Thank you.
I don't want to waste it though.
I don't.
Like, I would immediately
chug a bottle of whiskey.
I would
die exactly.
I mean, I'm not expecting it to be done like today.
That's okay. So take your time and finish a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, who's gonna finish the bottle first? What I'm saying is, I don't want a bottle race.
That's just drinking. Tom, anything else today?
I don't think so, Mike.
Thirsty?
I'm out of whiskey.
Guess we gotta go.
I guess so.
Bye.